Welcome. I didn't think I could do two things at once, but apparently I can. So we've been looking in Luke. I asked Mike to give us an overview. And the next portion of scripture in the passage in Luke 17 that comes for this week is starting in verse 7. Now, how many of you have... How many of you, at times, you think, do you know what, I'm tired. I've been a Christian a long time and I'm tired. And do I have to, Lord? And if you're feeling tired and you feel that you need some encouragement, you might not get it this morning. You might get the challenge instead, because I read this portion of scripture to myself first and I thought, really, Lord, can't you just encourage me? Let me read it. Suppose one of you have a servant ploughing and looking after the sheep. Now, get the oversight in this. Get it in proportion. It could be bond slave. It could be servant. It could be slave. Basically, this individual, this man or this woman, was at the beck and call of the master. When the master said jump, they said how high. They worked an enormous amount of hours in a 24-hour day. They had very little time to themselves, very little time to rest and to eat before they had to get back on with their duties again. This is the overview. This is the backdrop to this portion of scripture. Suppose one of you has a servant ploughing and looking after the sheep. Will he say to that servant, when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down and eat? That's a question. Would he do that? The answer is no. Wouldn't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? The answer is no. He wouldn't, because the servant was there purely to do what he or she was told to do. This is Jesus' words. So in verse 10 it says this, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. So when we get to the point, and there is an encouragement in this, when we get to a point where we say, Lord, I don't know if I can do this anymore. There's nobody that's given me appreciation. I've been serving this family member for years. I've been serving my local church for years. I've been serving my community for years. I've been serving on the board of this and the board of that, and I don't get any thanks. What do you say, Lord? You have only done your duty. And that's quite hard to swallow sometimes, isn't it? I know when, for me, there's times where I have unfortunately said, Lord, I don't know if I can do this anymore. You're only doing what I've called you to do, Andrew. I was saying in prayer or study group last week, there's a prayer that I used to pray and I've stopped praying it now, and it's, Lord, use me. Lord, here I am, use me. And the reason I've stopped praying it is because I feel so used. And God's only answering my prayer, isn't he? So there's times where we say, Lord, use me. And then we feel used and then we feel demoralised. But I want to encourage you today just to say that we're doing what God's called us to do, so keep doing it. Let me read another portion of scripture out that could go hand in hand in this. And it's in Matthew 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Remember the first part of this scripture. For the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. If you get the picture of what Jesus is saying here, in that day, and well, not so much in our day, but maybe 40, 50 years ago it was true. People would gather in a certain place, knowing that people would come along and hire them for the day. And when you look at some of the old programs in the 40s, the 50s and the 60s, you'd find the dock workers on the docks, those that weren't in work, they would stand there, and if someone needed someone for a day, they'd say, I'll have you, I'll have you, and I'll have you. Come and work for me for a day. So this is the backdrop. He agreed, the master of the vineyard, he agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into the vineyard. So there again, I want to labour this point. He said, I will give you a day's wages for a day's work. It's already been agreed to pay them a denarius and sent them into the vineyards. In verse 3, about 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. Some other versions, they say that they stood there idle. And if we think about idle or doing nothing, it gives you the impression that it's just lazy people. But I want to suggest that's really not what it's saying, because those people are standing there expecting to be hired. So they're not lazy at all, are they? They're gone expecting. So I like to use the word idle as if you were standing or you were sitting in your car or on your motorbike, in Nigel's case, at the traffic lights. The engine is on, your hand is on the throttle or your foot is on the pedal, ready to go, yes? What are you doing at that moment? You are idling. You're in anticipation, you're ready, so when it goes green, you do the speed limit, don't you? You just gently move off. Or not, as the case may be. But the point is, the idol that I'm suggesting here is they're not just lazy people, they're people who are looking for work. So I want us to get that into our minds when we look at this parable that Jesus is saying. In verse 4, he told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." Remember, he'd already agreed with the first people that came along in the first part of the day, "I'll give you a day's wages for a day's work." And he's saying to these some hours later, "I'll give you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again at noon and about three in the afternoon. And he did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" Question. The answer: "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." So I want to pause there. So what we have are, we have men who are standing in a certain place expecting to be hired. And the reason they're still there is because no one's hired them. It's not because they're lazy. It's because they may be the smallest of the bunch. Because if you think, we're looking for manual labour here. So someone will come along and they'll see a 6'6" individual with muscles bulging, "I'll have you." And then they come to me, 5 foot nothing, and go, "Nah." So we get the impression that the people that are left behind are maybe those that no one else wanted to hire. But Jesus comes along in this parable, the landowner, and he says, "I'll have you." So for me and you, it doesn't matter how tall we are. It doesn't matter how smart we are. It doesn't matter how intellectual we think we are or we are not. It doesn't matter how much of the Bible we think we know or we don't know. If we are standing in the right place, he will come and he will ask us to work. And for us as Christians, I want us to grab that, because regardless, this parable will explain what I'm trying to say in this portion. But regardless to how long you've been in the kingdom, regardless to what you think your talents and abilities are, God has a job for you. And he doesn't see anyone inferior, because just at the right time he saved us. Is that what scripture says? Well, that's what the song says anyway. Just at the right time. So you got saved just at the right time, just at the right age, just with the right abilities. You got saved. God has called you into his vineyard and he wants you to work. And when he calls you and when he shows you what it is he wants you to do, we're just doing our duty, aren't we? We're just doing what the Lord has called us to do. So we should rejoice in that. In verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, and go on to the first." And scripture says, "He that is last will be first, and he that is first will be last." Seems to be upside down sometimes. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a day's wages. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius, a day's wages. When they received it, they said, they began to grumble against the landowner. So let's put that one into proportion. Just imagine, and we're human, aren't we? We sometimes may think like this, but it's just natural sometimes. You know, you work in God's vineyard for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, 70 years for some. We're slaving away because we're a slave to righteousness, not a slave to our master. We're working in a way in which we know that good and faithful servant will be the reward. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And then a young man, a young woman, or an older man, an older woman, they get saved in their 70s. In their 70s. And God says to them on that day, as you're standing in the queue waiting, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I wonder if we'd be tempted to go, "Lord, I've borne the brunt of the heat of the day. I've been serving you for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And this man, this woman has only just..." Well, that's the grace of God, isn't it? That's the good news of the gospel. Regardless to who you are, regardless to how tall you are, regardless to where you come from, God wants to bless you. God wants to encourage you. And this message today is to say, keep on doing what God's called you to do, because God's called you to do it. And you will get that reward. "Well, how am I going to do this?" I hear you ask. I'm glad you asked. I'll answer soon. They began to grumble. "Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said. "And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work." We hear a lot in social media, don't we? We hear a lot on the news about equality. Well, we serve a God of the equality, don't we? He made them equal. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, equal. God loves you and he loves me. God hates sin. God shed his grace. He shed his blood for everyone. We serve an equal opportunity God. And they started to grumble, and the landowner said, "Listen, can I not do what I want to do with my money? Or are you jealous? Because I am generous." So as a church, as a body, I don't say this because I think we have a problem with it. I'm saying it because it's the next part of this portion of scripture that I set myself to preach on. I say it because there will be a time, and there may have already been a time, where you feel weary with well doing. Well, keep going. There may be a time as we go forward as a church and we grow, and God starts to prosper us spiritually, numerically, and financially. Different metals will come into church and be blended together, and there'll be friction, there'll be differences of opinion, there'll be those that are not thinking the same way as you think they should think. The reason we bring these messages is to bring a grounding for us as a church, to say, listen, let's not grumble what God has given us, because he's given us the work to do. In Matthew 25, starting at verse 14, again, this is the kingdom. "Again, it will be like a man going on the journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them." Now, this portion of scripture has been used, and they put the word talent in place. And what some ministers have tried to do is, or have done, is they've gone, "God has given you a talent. You need to use that talent." But we're talking about finances here. Where your heart is, your treasure is also. So it's true that your time, your talents, your finances, is all wrapped up in one. But this portion of scripture, the truth of it, is talking about money. It's talking about entrusting individuals with bags of gold, with finances, with commerce. "I'm going to sow into your life and I want you to do something with it." Now, we can take it. And we can say, yes, we can take it with our time and our talents and our abilities, our giftings. And some of you may say, "Yeah, but I don't have much of a gifting." I know, just sharing a portion when I was at school. And I don't feel sorry for myself, because the things I lacked in, God gave me other opportunities. But when it came to academia, yeah, no. When it came to sports, no. I've said this before, but for those that haven't heard me say this before, when we think about the vineyard, when we think about the people standing in the marketplace, the closest I can get to that as a 61-year-old is when I'm standing on the side of the football pitch waiting to be picked by one of the captains. We have two captains, and there was a group of boys there, and the captain number one would say, "I'll have him." The captain number two would say, "I'll have him," and so on and so on. And they would pick the best first, and I was always left because I was rubbish at sports. And if we was doing the same process on arithmetic or geometry or geography, I'd still be the same. I'd be the one that's left. But you know what the good news is for me, and maybe for you, is that I may be the one that's left by the human, but when Jesus comes along, he says, I choose you. I choose you. And that's what he does. He chooses us. He entrusted them with his wealth. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag. Listen to this, according to his ability. So if God has trusted you or entrusted you with something, whether it's wealth or whether it's an ability, it's according to your ability. So when God asks you to work in his vineyard, he will only give you what he knows you can handle. Now, my wife's not here, and she cries very often, naturally and spiritually, Lord, I can't do this. Can you bring someone in who's passionate about children? Yet she is doing it, but she finds it hard. But God knows that she has a strength that she doesn't know she has herself. Now, for me, one of the things that I struggled with at school was reading and reading aloud. And I would not stand up and I would not read and I would not speak to people. In my early years, I would not communicate like this. There's no way in my teens and growing up in my 30s, until I become a Christian, would I have spoken in public, out loud, off the cuff, just bringing what's inside, the overflow of the heart, let the mouth speak. No, wouldn't have done it. But God knows my ability, doesn't he? And he knows yours. So you may be ruling yourself out. There may be something, someone that God wants you to serve, and you say, Lord, I can't do that. But if you think he's called you, there's the answer. Because how many times have you said this? God said. Dangerous thing to say. If you ever say, God said. So if you come to me and you say, Pastor, I believe the Lord has called me to serve in this way. What do you think? Well, doesn't matter what I think. Because you've said, God said. I'm not going to override God, are you? So if God has said it, then he'll equip you to do it. And if you struggle, it's okay. Because if God said, it's according to the ability that he knows that you've got. So the only caveat is make sure God said. Make sure it's not just a good thought. Make sure it's not just a nice warm feeling that you feel when you see something on the TV and you go, I want to go to that country and serve. Make sure it's God calling you and not just you being a compassionate person. Because it might be that God's given you the ability to send finances to that country that will do far more good than you in person. And others, it might be that God wants you to go in person. I hope this makes sense. According to their ability. Now, when we look through this portion of scripture, the landowner comes back and he says, I want some accountability on what I entrusted you with. And that's going to be the same for me and you. Because Jesus has, he came the first time to call people to repentance. He's coming back the second time to judge. And the Bible says that we, even us as Christians, will be judged by fire. It talks about the gold and the silver and the precious stones. It talks about the straw and the stubble and the hay. And that represents our works in one sense. It represents our Christian walk. And when the light of the Lord and the fire of God comes upon, it will just burn up the dross, the things that are not of God. That's good. And it will leave the goodness of what we've done for the Lord. And that's a good thing. But God's going to call us and ask us to give an account for what he's given us. So one, has he given it to us? If he has, let's use it. How does he want us to use it? Let's find out. The first one that was given 5 bags of gold. He said, here we go, master. Here's your 5 bags plus 5 more. Well done, good and faithful servant. There's the reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many. And then the other one comes who was given 2 bags. And he says, here we are, Lord. Here's the 2 that you gave me and 2 more. The reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. Can you see that the one who had 5 or then had 10 and the one who had 2 had 4? and the reward was the same. So it's not about how much we do. It's not about how many hours we put in. It's about doing what God's called us to do with what he's given us. Does that make sense? So it's not about you turning up to church 4 weeks in a month and someone else turns up three and you think, I've done better than she has. I've done better than he has. No, nothing to do with that. It's about what God has called you to do. It's about what you are, what the ability is. There are people who have disabilities in a physical sense, and they struggle to get up in the morning, and it's hard. God knows, doesn't he? There's those that are doing other things with the talents that God has given them, and we don't know about it, but he does. Yes? So we mustn't judge one another based on what we see. We must hold ourselves accountable from what we see God is doing in our lives. So for me, God has called me to do a certain thing, and he wants me to do it. And the unfortunate thing is, for those that preach and teach, and anyone who stands here, remember this, I'm not going to look at you, Rosemary, but God calls us doubly accountable. The good news is, we get a double portion of his blessing, well done, but he's going to hold us doubly accountable. That's why whenever we share, it's not just from the platform, it's when you share God's word out into the community. It makes a difference. God sees, and he'll reward you accordingly. Now, what about the other one? The one who had one? It goes something like this. I know that you are a harsh man, that you reap where you have not sown. So I took what you gave me and I buried it. Here we go. Here's your one bag of gold back. And what does the parable say? It doesn't say, well, I understand. You took the gift. You took the finances that I gave you, that I wanted you to invest. And you've chosen to bury it. At least you've kept it safe for me. Thank you very much. No, it doesn't. He says, you wicked and lazy servant. Why didn't you put what I gave you in the bank so it would at least earn some interest? Why didn't you do something with it? It says then, take from the one who has one and give it to the one who has ten. And the one who has two says, that's not fair. He's already got ten. I've only got four. Why don't you give it to me? No, God says, take it to the one who has and give it to him. And what will happen is this. He that has, God will give more to. So if we want to serve the Lord in a greater way, and the answer should be yes, we do. One of the keys, if that's a word, is let's use what God has already given us and then expect it to grow. Let's take the ability that we already have been given and let's see what God can do with us. Let's take that mustard seed of faith and believe for the small and see the increase. There are men and women in church life that they put themselves down, and I'm not suggesting anyone does it here, but they put themselves down and they go, God can't use me. Yes, he can. Because you could be the last person standing, ready, idling, saying, Lord, use me. I'm ready to go. You could be that last person. The world has written you off, but God hasn't. All I believe the Lord wants of us is to use what he's already given us. And then the multiplication will come. If we want to see a greater answer to prayer, let's start praying for the small things. If we don't have the faith to believe for the mighty things, start praying for the small things. Lord, help me to see you more clearly. Lord, help me to understand your word. Lord, help me to serve one other person. Lord, help me to recognize the gift that I have. Whatever it may be, start there. And then let's see what God does. John 15, verse 5. This is how we do these things. This is how we stay steadfast. This is how we can stay standing in the marketplace saying, Lord, here I am, send me. This is how we can keep doing the things God has called us to do. I am the vine, Jesus said, and you are the branches. So he's the vine. He's rooted in the ground. Just imagine all the sustenance, all the strength comes through Christ. And we're just a limb. We're just a branch. But he goes on to say, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you cannot do nothing. So if you're struggling, anyone who's listening to this, or who's in the room today, if you're struggling with the ability that God has already given you, then remain in Him. Remain in Him. If you've drifted from Him, come back to the center. Come back to the center. Because for us as children, the parables are so powerful. And I could tag on to this, the parable of the two sons, where one just went away and squandered. And what does it say? I'll tell you. He came to his senses. She came to her senses. Stepped out of the pig pen and went back to the father. So that means that the father was standing waiting all along. So when the world tells you that you've failed because you haven't done this, you've failed because you haven't been to church for the last 16 years, you failed because you haven't given to this, you failed because you haven't prayed this way, then Jesus says, step out and come back. Connect. If you connect back to the Father, He is in you, you are in Him, then we'll bear much fruit. It says, not little fruit, but much fruit. 20, 30, 60, 100 fold. You see, as we sow, God gives us a return. Now, there's a scripture that says, as we sow, we receive a harvest of righteousness. That means a right standing with God. So as we give into His economy, He gives us a right standing. As we give of our time, of our talents, and of our finances, of our prayers, and our practical work, He gives us a right standing with Him. And when we have a right standing with Him, we're in the center of His plans and purposes. Just as He says here in this parable, He is the strength. And as long as we're connected to Him, then we are the strength. So let's be encouraged. And Revelation tells us about His people, us, the church. They triumphed over Him. Who's Him? The enemy. How many of you know that God is real? Christ is real. And so is the enemy. Adversary, the devil that's prowling around looking for that in which he may devour. Yes, and when you think about devour, it's to drink down fast, to drink something down fast. It needs to be in powder form, in liquid form, doesn't it, to be drunk down. You know, if you had a handful of tablets, you couldn't drink them down fast, but if you crushed them up and put them in water, dissolved them, you could drink them down fast. That's what the enemy wants to do to me and you. He wants to bit by bit break us, bit by bit break us. He wants us to see around us and go, you're not worthy to do what God's called you to do. He wants to break a bit off to say, you don't give enough into God's economy. He wants to break a bit off and say, you know, you don't do anything for my king, for His kingdom. Break you off bit by bit. But that's not true, is it? That's not true. Because the reward that God has for you, it's the same reward that God has for me. The reward He has for someone who enters His vineyard in their last hour of life, the last breath, as long as they've accepted through repentance the grace gift of Christ, gets the same, well done, good and faithful servant, as those that have been Christians all their life. So I think it's good news. And they, meaning us, we triumphed over Him, meaning the enemy. How? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You see, we have a testimony. We have a testimony. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's part of our testimony, isn't it? Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let me finish with Romans 8:34. It says, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. You see, when we struggle and we ask someone in God's kingdom to pray for us, they may or they may not. But when we ask God, we know He does. He intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You see, nothing can separate you. You're in His vineyard. If you belong to Him, you belong to Him, yes? You know, you can struggle, that's okay. You can strive, that's okay. But you're in Him. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship? You see, we're in the world, but not of the world, true? We struggle at times, don't we? Or am I the only one? If I am, you need to change your pastor. We struggle at times. We struggle with the small things sometimes. We struggle with the medium things, we struggle with the big things. We struggle with our abilities. You know, some Christians, and I was one of them when I was a younger Christian, I struggled with someone else's ability because I couldn't match up to them. If only I was as tall as that Christian, spiritually. If only I had the wisdom that he or she has. If only I had the gift of voice. I'd love to sing. I'd love to play an instrument. If only I had those gifts, I would be able to serve God. But that's a lie, isn't it? Because God knows my ability. And he'll call me according to my ability. Same for you. Don't let the enemy break any bits of you off. Today, declare that you are in Christ. That you're connected to him. That he is the vine and you are the branches. You're part of his body. Resolve yourself today that nothing can separate you from his love. The things you've said, the things you've done, nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Not trouble or hardship or persecution, not even famine, nakedness, danger or the sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced. Are you convinced? Can you say today that you're convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Can you say today that you're convinced? Can we pray for that conviction that if you do, great. If you don't, then today let's settle it in our hearts. You know, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, doesn't it? And there are times where we go, I don't know if I can find the strength to do this. But you don't have to, do you? If you're connected to him, he'll give you the strength. You know, the branches just need to suck up the sap, yes? It just needs to open the leaf and absorb the sun. And there are times, there's a secular song that I heard some years ago, and it went something like this. I'm like a flower leaning towards the sun. And that's us. We're like a flower, we're delicate. But as we lean towards the sun, we open up, and the light of the love of the Lord shines upon us. I know it sounds cheesy, but there's some truth in that. So today, let's pray that we are like the branch that needs to open the leaf and let the sun shine upon it. We are the branch that's connected to the vine that needs the strength of the Lord inside of us. That God's given us things to do and things to say according to our ability. That we're in the vineyard. We don't need to worry about the man and woman that seems to be blessed all the time and they're doing very little in our eyes. We just need to worry about what God's called us to do. Yes? Shall we pray on those lines and then we can conclude and we can worship him? Father, we thank you that we are your children. We thank you that we work in your vineyard. We thank you, Lord, that we're connected to the vine, Christ Jesus. Lord, reveal to me afresh the things you want me to do, the things you want me to say. Lord, if you call me, I know that you will equip me, that you will empower me. Lord, help me to see those around me as a blessing. Lord, help me to articulate the things you want me to speak about. Lord, show me afresh who and what to pray for. Show me afresh what you want me to do with the talents and the finances and the prayers and the abilities that you've lavished upon me. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.